Chapter 63, Savonarola. Savonarola was born in 1452 at Ferrara. That place is situated in the north of Italy. His parents were rich and lived in luxury. They only lived for enjoyment and pleasure. Thus, they were real humanists. But Savonarola could not go along with all those worldly amusements. Already in his youth, he had an aversion to that. At the age of 22 years, he left his parental home and relatives and locked himself up in a monastery at Bologna. That city is also located in Italy, relatively close to Ferrara. His parents took this very ill of him, but he would have his own way. He came in a Dominican monastery. That order was a mendicant order. We told you that already in chapter 54. He lived 14 years in that monastery. After that, he settled in Florence, and there he became abbot of the Dominican monastery in Florence. We told you already in the previous chapter that Florence was a very wicked city because that place was one of the central points of that pagan humanism. There the dynasty of Medici set a very bad example. Savonarola abhorred the wickedness which he daily beheld. He could no longer look at that silently. And for that reason he appeared as a penitential preacher. Here he could and must no longer be silent. While in the monastery at Bologna, he had read the writings of Augustine, the great church father. These writings were made a blessing to him. He began to preach in the monastic church. This was soon much too small because his serious words made a deep impression. Since the monastic church could no longer contain the multitude, they gave Savonarola permission to preach in the large cathedral of Florence, and also that church was soon filled to the utmost corners. The people traveled from far and near to Florence to listen to his preaching. The simple monk spared no one. Rich and prominent were solemnly reprimanded by him about their wicked life. He declared the judgments of God upon the clergy who also lived in gross sins. He called the people to penitence and conversion, but he also directed them to Christ as the only ground for salvation. We already know that the Roman Catholic Church taught that the priests could forgive sins. Savonarola preached otherwise. Behold him standing there in the pulpit, while in the building itself a breathless silence prevails. With a powerful voice which penetrates into the furthest corners, he says, "If Christ does not forgive sins, then it does not avail if the priests forgive them. Turn ye to the crucified one, so that you may be saved. Even though you have sinned 1,000 times, he will help you. He granted forgiveness to the thief upon the cross. He shall also forgive you, if you come to him with a broken heart." Savonarola did not break with the Roman Catholic Church, but he wanted to reform it. At another occasion, he cried out, "Rome, you are mortally ill. You have forsaken God." Once again, he did not leave the Roman Catholic Church. He remained a Catholic till his death. As a result of that serious preaching, he acquired many friends, but through that others became his most bitter enemies. They were watching for his ruin. As we already told you, the royal house of the Medici ruled over Florence. In his days, the name of that prince was Lorenzo. He was wealthy, lived in luxury and splendor, and concerned himself only about the temporal things. Savonarola did not spare him either, but upbraided him sharply because of his wicked, licentious life. He did this publicly. Lorenzo found that to be anything but pleasant, and he had Savonarola come to him. He offered the preacher rich gifts, provided he would keep silent. Savonarola shook his head indignantly and firmly refused to accept any money. He would not allow himself to be bribed. Shortly after that, his Dominican monastery received a large sum of money as a gift. That money came from Lorenzo. Now he attempted it in this manner. He thought, "Now Savonarola shall no longer dare to reprove me." But he was mistaken. Do you know what that courageous monk did with that money? He distributed it among the poor in Florence. Neither was the Pope spared by Savonarola. He likewise attempted to impose silence upon the preacher of penitence. He offered Savonarola the cardinal's hat. That was a great honor for him, because the popes were chosen by and from among the cardinals. Thus, there was the possibility that one day he himself would be chosen as pope. And did Savonarola accept that important office? Just listen to the answer which he gave. He cried out, "I want no other hat than that of the martyrs, a red hat, a hat painted with blood." Thus the attempt made by the Pope also failed completely. Savonarola did not permit himself to be influenced by one thing or another. He did not permit himself to be silenced by attractive offers. One day, Savonarola predicted that Lorenzo would die. And that prediction came true. Lorenzo was only 44 years old, but he became seriously ill and died in the prime of life. Savonarola predicted that the Pope would die, and the Pope died very soon after that. He said the King of Naples would not live much longer, and shortly after that, the King of Naples was dead. The impression of all those predictions was powerful upon the people. They regarded Savonarola as a prophet. At another time, he announced, "God shall punish the inhabitants of Italy because of their terrible sins. A king shall come from the north, who shall march over the Alps and invade Italy." Some time later, the King of France invaded Italy. He marched over the Alps with a mighty army and conquered a large part of the province of which Florence was the capital. Only the city of Florence remained free. The French troops did not occupy that city. The respect for Savonarola mounted with the people. The family of the Medici was expelled by them, and Savonarola now became the leader of Florence. He himself was not in the government because a council consisting of citizens governed the city, but they did listen to him and did that which he desired. It is Easter of the year 1497. Listen, the bells of Florence are ringing. There is much people on the street. They are all going to the large plaza before the cathedral. There goes one with his arms full of fancy articles. Yonder several people carry a large mirror. Again another has a stack of playing cards with him. A little further, one goes with an arm full of books. We see people who carry musical instruments. All those articles are dumped on a great heap in the center of the cathedral plaza. Then it is set on fire, and while the people cheer enthusiastically, the bells ring, the flames crackle high up. Thousands of dollars worth was burned up. That pile of burning materials reached to a very great height. That was the work of Savonarola. The influence of that preacher of penitence was so great upon the people that they willingly parted with all those articles of luxury. Life in Florence changed completely. They no longer celebrated wicked feasts and assemblies, and whosoever still did was severely punished. The poor were sustained by the rich and were supplied with all necessary things. Enemies who for years had lived at variance with each other also became reconciled. These things were also the fruits of the labor of Savonarola. He seemed to be the king in Florence. That which he said or proposed took place. And yet, king of Florence? Oh no, Savonarola refused that absolutely. He said, "I am not your king, but Jesus Christ is your king." Above the pulpit was written in large letters so that everyone could read it, "Jesus Christ, King of Florence." Shall Savonarola succeed in putting an end to the wickedness in Italy and especially in Florence? A large crowd stands before the Dominican monastery in Florence. Wild yelling fills the air. Fists are clenched. Threats and curses resound loudly. The people press on noisily. Some ringleaders kick against the monastery gate in order to break it open in that way. When finally that heavy door creakingly flies open, then a loud cheer resounds. Various men storm inside and disappear in the long, gloomy monastic corridors. Then it becomes quiet among the numerous ones that are present. A short time later, the invaders return. In their midst, they drag a monk with them. When the waiting people outside of the monastery spy that monk, they shout scornfully. One gives that monk a blow with his fist on his face so that the blood drips out of his nose. Another kicks him so that a painful expression appears on his face. The people do not show the least pity, because they laugh heartily about it and hurl abusive language at him. They mock and yell. He is the butt of their scorn. That monk is Savonarola. What? Savonarola? Ah, come now. That cannot be, can it? Wasn't Savonarola the man who in Florence has such an enormous influence? Wasn't he really the uncrowned king in Florence to whom everyone listened? Yes, that is true. And yet, the fury of the people turned against him. Why so? What has happened that the people turned against him so suddenly? Ah, nothing is so changeable as the favor of the people. In our thoughts, we hear the cheers of a large multitude of Jews. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We see them spread their garments in the way, and with plucked off palm branches enthusiastically bring homage to him who is the King of Israel. And only 5 days later, those self-same throats yell themselves hoarse with, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Well then, something similar happens in Florence. The enemies of Savonarola have not been quiet. The dissatisfaction increased in the city, especially among the prominent ones. They thought it was a dull affair in Florence, where it usually was so merry and lively. They were no longer allowed to celebrate feasts. They were no longer allowed to have gay evenings. It was demanded of them that they should live properly and modestly. Bah! Nothing doing. That is not for them. With nostalgia, they thought upon the former days. They panted after a change and fervently longed for the former times. The businessmen were also dissatisfied because they did not earn so much anymore. Especially the stores in which fashion and luxury articles were sold were empty most of the time. The owners of them suffered poverty. No wonder that they longed for the former days. And then we must not forget the Roman clergy. They hated Savonarola with a bitter hatred because he told them the truth without mincing words. They watched for a suitable opportunity to ruin him. Finally, add to that the son of Lorenzo de Medici, who had been driven out of Florence by the people and who lived in exile in Rome. He likewise waited for a favorable opportunity to return to Florence again. He yearned for the moment when he could occupy the place of his father and be restored to his former glory. This prince incited the Pope against Savonarola. The Pope himself, who was a monster of wickedness, had a fierce grudge against Savonarola because he rebuked him publicly. All these things worked together that the influence of Savonarola on the people declined. Finally, the Pope called Savonarola to Rome to appear before his judgment seat. However, the monk did not go, but wrote a detailed letter to the Pope, in which he admonished the Pope to break with sin. The Pope did not concern himself very much about those serious words, but continued to live on in his wickedness. When Savonarola perceived that his attempt to get the Pope to repent did not avail, he wrote letters to the kings of France, Spain, England, and Hungary. He wanted to call together an ecclesiastical council. At that council, the wicked Pope must be deposed and another Pope appointed. The Pope at Rome heard that, and he immediately took action. He excommunicated Savonarola. Besides, he threatened the city of Florence with the interdict if they did not obey him and continued to follow Savonarola. We already know what that means, do we not? Behold, that is how it happened that the inhabitants of Florence turned themselves away from Savonarola. Through that, his enemies obtained free scope. They stormed the monastery of Savonarola, dragged him outside, beat, mocked, taunted, and insulted him, and cast him in prison. There he was tortured 7 times upon the rack by the Inquisition. Finally, the Pope condemned him to death on the basis of 3 accusations. In the first place, Savonarola was accused of heresy. In the second place, they reproached him that he stirred up the people. In the third place, it was laid to his charge that he was a despiser of the Pope. That sentence was executed on the 23rd of May, 1498. 3 gallows had been erected in the shape of a cross on the large cathedral plaza of Florence. 3 stakes have been piled up around those gallows. There Savonarola would be put to death. What a great difference from a year ago. Then at the same place, thousands of dollars worth of luxuries and evil books have been burned. Then it was a glorious day for Savonarola. How soon can things change? Isn't that so? Then the people applauded him. Then the bells rang merrily. Now again, thousands of people have flocked together to that same cathedral plaza. But now it is not to honor him, but to be witnesses of his martyr's death. Accompanied by heavily armed soldiers, Savonarola approaches the place which is so well known to him. For the last time he casts a glance at the cathedral in which he had preached so often. Two of his lay brothers, who had always faithfully assisted him, shall likewise be put to death. Yet once more he surveys the numerous multitude. Now no cheers resound, but in many eyes he reads hatred and scorn. Amid breathless silence, the three are hanged. Savonarola obtains a place in the middle. After that, the stakes are ignited, and soon their dead bodies are consumed to ashes. The ashes are collected carefully and are cast into a little river. Behold, that was the end of Savonarola, the brave preacher of penitence. Again, a faithful preacher had been silenced. After his death, the son of Lorenzo de Medici returned to Florence, and soon the same conditions of before prevailed in the city. Even though Savonarola was a serious preacher of penitence, who spared no one, yet he was not a forerunner of the Reformation. He did not attack the doctrine of Rome, neither did he combat the error that the Pope was the vicar of Christ upon earth. He did make an attempt to get rid of the wicked Pope at Rome, but then another Pope had to be appointed in his place. Savonarola was Roman Catholic, and he remained Roman Catholic, even though he said many things that were to the point. His conflict was especially against the wicked life of the Pope, against the licentious life of the Roman clergy, and against the abominable sins of the people. But he never contested the dogmas of the Church. For that reason, I repeat, however well he meant it, we may not class him among the forerunners of the Reformation.